over to Jokic. Jokic coming in, and he puts it up and in. Now Jokic is bumped, he's doubled. Behind the back to Gordon, who puts it away. Give it to Jokic. Good idea. Jokic around everybody. Lay it in. To Jokic. Going to take the three. Straight away. Got it. Murray around the screen. Dish it to Jokic. And Jokic restores order. From a bad angle. Jokic. Oh, what a catch. And Jokic tips it. Try it again. Tipping, tipping, tipping is the big tipper in their first half of play. Now Jokic by his man. Put it up and in. So Nikola Jokic doing whatever he wants. Now Jokic against Malachi Flynn, and Jokic, basket counts foul. Murray's on the run, dump it late to Jokic, and he dumps it up and in. Porter, does he know the clock? Nope. And Jokic gets it off just in time. Unbelievable.
All right, the Nuggets win big. Well, kind of big. 113-104 in Toronto last night. And that clip you just played there, courtesy of Altitude Angel with Joker, getting the tip, like four or five tips, basket, you know, rebounds. I think most of his rebounds came from that. 15 boards for Nikola Jokic, 31 points. Angel, what a relief it was to see a Joker game like that. We've had like two or three weeks now where even in the Nuggets wins, it didn't feel like Joker was quite in that groove. You know, the night before didn't really need to be, didn't have to play the fourth quarter. But for me, it was really important not only to get the win. You're 19-10 now, 500 on the road, but to see Joker get one of those 30-plus point nights. I mean, I think he really needed that. And cool stat here, he has now scored 30-plus points against every team in the league. I mean, that is every team. He's done it. Did you feel a sense of relief, kind of, when you see a game like that from the Joker?
Not so much relief, and more of just reaffirming that this guy is the best, and good to see this team get back to what they feel like they need to do. I know Malone spoke in the post game about, you know, when we're on the road, the offense is going, the defense is going to do what it needs to do, and we're getting back to playing Nuggets basketball.
Yeah, for most of that game, it really looked like a championship-type team. I mean, 29-20 at the end of the first. They outscored Toronto 32-24 in the second. Toronto creeps back in the third. It's going to happen. It's hard to dominate in this league. It's hard to win big in this league. But it felt like, for the most part of this game, it was kind of on that championship level. And I don't know if it felt like that for the last two or three weeks.
No, obviously the injuries have been weird, and you haven't had the full starting five in for, I would say, a consistent amount of games as of late. But all five starters get double digits. Peyton Watson off the bench, 5 of 6 from the field with 11 points, a block, a steal, assist, and 4 rebounds. Dude is just coming into his own right now. I think maybe the commercial with Jokic maybe built some of that chemistry a little bit.
Maybe.
Found out they have the same agent, so that's why they were in the commercial together.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Well, and then it was interesting, you get Joker, he's got his shoe out now, and it's the same company that Aaron Gordon's with.
Mm-hmm. So Jokic will have a signature shoe.
What company is that, that the shoe's coming out? Because he left Nike, right? Or was he ever with Nike? But I don't know
if he ever had a real shoe deal,
okay,
like a big one. Oh, yeah, he did leave Nike. But he is now with the Chinese shoe brand 361.
And that's, Aaron Gordon's deal, too.
Yes.
So what do you make of all of this with the Joker doing commercials now, big shoe deal? Is he finally like, let's do it? Was he resistant to do it in the past, or is he just becoming, it's becoming an easier thing for him to get out there?
I think maybe it's just a little easier. Maybe it's just a part like, okay, I've established myself as one of the best in the league. Maybe I can embrace a little bit of this NBA culture a little bit, have fun. At least give the American audience some fun to have.
Yeah, because he's done ads before, just not in America.
Yeah, so maybe he's just having a little bit of fun with it.
I wonder if, and again, I'm just wondering, if somebody, we all know the MVP means nothing to him, but I wonder if somebody in his circle said, hey, if you get out there more, it's going to be, it is what it is. It's stupid, it's dumb that that's even a thought, but one of the things the national media talked about so much with Joker when they did take the time to talk about him was that Well, he's not on Twitter. He's not on commercials. He doesn't really open up that much in his press conferences. So that was one of the knocks, I guess, for him not getting a lot of national attention. And now he's doing those things. I mean, that is, and he's good at it too. Like, he's actually pretty good at it. He was asked about it at the end of the game. Did you hear that? He just was asked, hey, what did you think of your performance in those commercials? He said, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good actor. The outtakes would lead you to believe otherwise, I suppose. But I love it, man. I loved the Christmas ad, and I know he's not in that really. But when they're having all the action figures out there, and Joker comes out to play horse with Steph Curry, and he wheels out a horse, like a plastic horse, I think it's great. You know, but it does, there's not that side of fans now that just look at Joker like, that dude just doesn't care. He just wants to play basketball and go home. I think he's getting rid of that image a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that image of him was very magnified after the MVP narratives had come out late in like March and April last year, or this past year, I guess, about, you know, oh, he's white and oh, he doesn't care. And I think people really got exposed to him with the playoffs and the finals run, to where you're like, oh, this Jokic guy is really good, but he doesn't seem to be your typical NBA superstar. And to us Nuggets people, we're used to it. Like, this is just Joker. But I think that narrative just kind of got blown up a little bit over the summer. It's like, oh, he just wants to go home. He just wants to go back to Serbia, blah, blah, blah. And then he, you know, has a great time at the parade and all of that. And maybe now he's just finding a new fun version of himself.
Yeah, I think he's opening up a little bit. And you just wonder if, you know, like hanging out a good portion of the summer with a guy like Aaron Gordon. You know, you wonder if those conversations were had of like, do you want to, you know, embrace this while you can? You only have this for so long. And guys, we've seen great players become just guys at some point. We've seen that before. So I actually think it's refreshing to see Nikola Jokic get his name out there more. You're seeing the shoe deal. You're seeing the commercials, and I think it's great. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, did Jordan Seaton, the number one tackle prospect, have we heard anything about that yet? Has he officially signed with CU just yet?
He has not signed with anybody.
Wow. Do you think he's just seeing all these offers come in and he is trying to, it's like free agency. This is like NFL free agency now.
It's worse, I'd say.
Yeah, I think it's worse because of what Flying Dutchman texted us yesterday. Say, you know,
there's not as much, you know, NFL regulation. You can't tamper. You can't have meetings before a certain date or anything like that. You can't make under the table offers. We have no access to it.
And yeah, that's the key point. Like Flying Dutchman texting yesterday saying, hey, is there a database, is there a website you can go to see what NIL deals exist, who's getting what? In the NFL, you can easily go to free agents. You can Google your favorite team's contracts, and there it is. It lays out exactly what they're making. But it doesn't really list their endorsement deals. I'm sure you could track that down somehow, but that's not really part of it. So this to me, you're right, is much worse. Because it's all over the place. Guys are committing. But Jordan Seaton thing is interesting because he didn't just commit to CU. He did it on, First Take? Mm-hmm. Or Pardon My Take?
Undisputed, whatever.
One of them. And so he made a big deal about that. And it was Skip Bayless' show, right? And I don't really watch that show, but that to me makes it worse. You get on and you make this big deal. You're talking about Shedeur Sanders, that's never going to happen again. We're not going to lead the league in sacks allowed. He's not going to be the most sacked quarterback. That's never going to happen again. Should we be holding these guys a little accountable to this? Like, if I'm ESPN, I'm never doing this again. I'm never bringing on a stud to come announce it because now you make us look weird.
Yeah, you make the network look weird. You put this kid in a weird spot, and you know. You can look at him as a young adult. You can look at him as whatever. He's 18 years old. He's still, you know, a young adult in this sense. But they're making lifelong or life-impacting decisions where you're going to go to school. And, you know, whether that's for a year, 2 years, or I'm just going to jump around to a different school every year because I just want to start all the time. It's we talk about the way these athletes are viewed now. Putting on a hat and saying I'm committed to here, it doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. Most guys.
You know, and it's I appreciate your passion for the game of football, and you just want to play, and you want to start, and you want to get your name out there. But it's becoming more of I want to see how much money I can get. I want to see how much publicity I can get. I want to see how many, you know, can I leverage an offer from another school and try to get a higher NIL deal? Because it's an offer is an offer. A scholarship is a scholarship. The real thing in the negotiations is the NIL money.
Well, that's what's happening now. They're not saying it out loud, but we know that's what's happening. You know, guys are getting wind of, or someone's letting them know that, hey, there's way more money. Like he visited Maryland yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Over CU at this stage. It's interesting. I mean, the guy has any place he wants to go. He can go to any school. But now he's looking at the NIL.
And in terms of the CU stuff, there's so much hype around CU. Are you just using that to get attention? Or is it, hey, I really like what Deion's doing. I want to go play for him.
I don't think you can really look at the X's and O's and really be honest and say, I like what Deion's doing on the field. Unless you really get deep into it and you think, oh, well, maybe if they just had better linemen, you could see the offense that they're running, the defense. But I don't think the Buffs have an identity.
Who's running the offense?
Pat Shurmur, probably?
I don't have much confidence in him.
No, I don't think
at the end of the day, the numbers speak for themselves. The record speaks for itself. And yes, Deion is a great personality and recruiter. I wouldn't say recruiter. He's a guy. He's good at getting portal players out. But I've seen it, you know, just in the last 24 hours throughout social media, people wonder, is Deion a guy that's going to develop me as a player? Yeah, I'm the top offensive lineman in the country, but am I going to get better at CU? Or am I just being guaranteed a starting spot because of my stars?
Yeah, it is an interesting conversation to have. Because right now, I don't think that if you're looking at developing and what's your best shot to get into the NFL and growing as a football player, I don't think it's an obvious thing with primetime. It is the marketing thing, which works, and it was working. You know, last year, obviously getting a lot of stud skill players, but does it work for offensive linemen who, let's face it, we are in a crisis when you look at the NFL. They're not developing offensive linemen like they used to. And I think that now, more than ever, teams are really looking at, if you're an offensive lineman or a D lineman, you're looking at those head coaches, you're looking at those position coaches, what's their philosophy on the line? And I think that you know, bringing in a guy like Warren Sapp to Boulder, well, what has he done? He's got a big name, but what has he done? He hasn't. So if I'm a player and my family's around me and you really think you're an NFL player, I don't think right now, and I'm not saying this couldn't change, I don't think right now you're looking at Colorado as that place. Yeah, they're the ones. They're going to develop me into a great offensive lineman that could get drafted in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, your Bamas, your Georgias, your Ohio States, your Michigans, your Texases even, you're going to those schools because you know, yeah, I can go to the NFL. I have a good shot at getting to the NFL there. But it's because of the coaching staff they have in place that I know I'm going to get better and better each year that I'm there, and I'm going to develop all the traits and skills I need to go to the NFL. CU, it's preaching, hey, you need to show up and you need to be ready to play at a top 10 level because that's what we're doing here. We're just going to win.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We got Kevin Lytle coming up on the program. We'll see if we can track down Brian Howell with Buff Zone, see if he knows anything.
He just running around?
Well, he's covering CU women's basketball today. So I know.
Playing UNC women's basketball today.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Is that right? Wow. I got to know more things, Angel. B-Rad, Prime is bringing in more coaches than he is freshmen. Only 5 commits. There's not very many.
No, and I mean, that's here. You know, that's the boat he wants to build for himself and sail out to sea with. We're going to go into the Wild West of the portal and grab who we want. And you better produce or I'm going to tell you to leave.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you're the top player in the state, top player in your position. If you're not ready to go immediately, we're not talking to you.
Meanwhile, the Rams, I think the Rams did pretty good yesterday. You know, as far as the guys that they're bringing in, a great list available at the Colorado. We'll talk to Kevin about that. We'll break into that a little bit more. But they got some pretty decent guys, it looks like. And again, I joke about it, but I'm also, this is a real thing. I don't know. I mean, you got a lot of Rams fans that are seeing these names and go, oh, this guy, It's perfect. No, I'm looking at your name. I'm looking at where you went to high school, what's your position, and, you know, your star rating, things like that. But I still don't know if that's going to translate to the next level. But some interesting guys. Got a quarterback, as we mentioned, Darius Curry. Landon Bell, this receiver at a Newberry Park High School. Heard some interesting things about him. The running back is the one that I keep hearing so much about is Jalen Dupree. So I want to ask Kevin about that. 21 minutes after the hour. Cables Pub and Grill, great sponsor of the show. It's my go-to place. And today, if you haven't tried the smothered burritos at Cables Pub and Grill, you are missing out. Go check out Cables. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
To speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Welcome back into the whole show. Isaac Chris texting in. Brady, is there a rookie NFL pay scale? Yeah. College fellas might have to take a pay cut. What is the rookie pay scale? Like, if you're first, what's Bryce Young making in his first year? Is it like $7 million and then a signing bonus of like, you get a big signing bonus of like $20 million or something like that? So, I mean, you're making good money if you're drafted, and then it just kind of slowly goes down. To, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, that salary's like, I think it's like $800,000 or $750,000 or something like that.
Let's see. The minimum rookie salary, which was determined by the CBA, is set at $750,000.
That's the minimum?
That's the minimum.
Isn't that interesting? The minimum is that. So that's kind of where you're going. You're better off if you're a high-profile NIL guy staying in college now because you're making more than what you would make professionally. That used to be the old argument, right? Was go make money while you can. Get in early. Go as fast as you can.
So the net worth for a number one pick would be $41.2 million. A number five pick would drop down to 34.5 million. Number eight drops to 23.7. So it just kind of goes down from there. Obviously, number one pick, you're going to get the biggest rookie contract.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that wild? Now.
But also, like, first-round picks, you have the option to have a fifth-year extension.
If you're a stud player, Angel, there's no guarantee that you're going to go to the NFL and last. If you're a stud player, you know, like the Caleb Williams's of the world, you can see why. Hey, I want to stay another year. I'm making just as much money, maybe. I don't know what Caleb Williams is making, but I think last we looked, he's upwards of $10 million, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys are, and yeah. That's what we kind of know. So why not stay another year, guarantee that, knowing the NFL money is going to come. But, you know, if you happen to get hurt or you just don't work out, you still got that 1 year that you went and earned, you went and made $5+ million.
You know, and you look at the landscape of at least just quarterbacks in the NFL, I'd say 80% of the teams have their guy at least for the next 2-3 years. And so... And then you talk about, am I in the right system? Do I have the right coach? Do I have the right players built around me to have a successful rookie year? Because we expect these kids to be superstars right out of the gate.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Young and you look at what's going on with Houston, with Stroud. I mean, those are two totally different situations. Both, we think, are pretty good quarterbacks. I guess we're finding out maybe Bryce Young isn't going to work out, but they're a train wreck.
CJ Stroud needs to get back on the field.
True, but he's had a really phenomenal rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolina is a dumpster fire over there, so it's not really fair to put that all on Bryce Young, but he hasn't looked good. So he hasn't risen up with that team. And that's difficult to do unless you're those guys we talk about, the Peyton Mannings and Tom Brady's of the world.
Yeah, and then, you know, not everybody's going to find their Brock Purdy in the seventh round. You know, that guy is, I think, you know, he's more of, and I don't say this negatively, but a system quarterback, because the Shanahan system is very friendly to quarterbacks.
Yes.
And you put around the pieces like Samuel and McCaffrey, I would expect you to succeed.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot to be said. I had a comment last night that I wanted to read. Brady, is it just me or did yesterday's signing day just feel icky? Do you think it did? with all the NIL stuff, with the guys holding off a little bit longer even because they're going to change their commitment because we know what's going on? Is that the state of signing day now?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're signing your letter of intent, it's hard to really get excited about these players, and it depends on what program you're in. You know, I know Bama signs another top five class, and it's like, all right, how many of these guys are going to be here next year? How many guys, you know, there's 3-4 of them already in the transfer portal, and the rest of the team's getting ready for the playoff.
I have fun talking about, like, hey, is Torrey Horton going to come back? Like, that's always a fun topic, and he is, obviously. But, Angel, I got to be honest. I'm starting to get tired of it. I'm starting to get real tired of it. Why do we have to wonder that every single good player that plays for Colorado State? You're wondering it with Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, that they're trying to change this where they can transfer whenever the hell they want. And that's the steps. Those are the steps to make this a semi-pro league.
Sure. And, you know, not just the players and the fans being frustrated, but imagine the coaches.
Oh, can't imagine.
Like, I've been recruiting this kid since he was in eighth grade. I had him for a year, and then he left because he sat on the bench, and maybe he played in four games his freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
But now I was really hoping he'd be a piece of the puzzle next year, but he's gone because he wants to just play right away, or he wants to go get money.
And if you're a guy like basketball, if you're a guy like Steve Smiley, and you went and found, your guys went and found Dalton Knecht, and then these big schools just swoop him up, I get it. I'm for Dalton Knecht doing that. I don't fault him for that decision. But man, you got to feel slighted. You got to feel so burned. And you know the nature of it. Smiley will tell you that's the nature of it. You can't really be sad.
Yeah, but this wasn't the nature of it 3 years ago.
No.
We're still so fairly new to this.
Do these guys even want to coach anymore? Because there's so much stuff you have to worry about now.
No, it's like recruiting has taken over the responsibilities of your coach, where you're recruiting every single day. You're talking to kids who may have been talking to somebody from, I don't know where, Tennessee, that floated a rumor over to Dalton and says, hey, here's your money, come on.
The re-recruiting thing, man. It's almost like, if you're a head coach, can you sit down with your team and say, hey, if you're here, commit, because I got work to do. You know, I need to,
well, how do
I
you
need
instill
to make
those,
sure.
Those coaching philosophies. Like,
don't
we're
know.
About commitment. We're about teamwork. We're
don't
about
know.
Leadership.
And build and working into and growing up in the system. You know, how do you do that now? I don't understand. 32 minutes after the hour. Signing day did, you know, whether you thought it was icky or not, signing day happened, and Colorado State got a bunch of new players. And we'll talk about those next with Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado one. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the show. We've got Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan joining us, as he does each and every Thursday. We have no Rams Weekly tonight, Kevin. Bummer. We got, not bummer, because UNC's playing. We're excited about that. But we'll just have to catch up with you in the new year on that show, man.
Yeah, exactly. We have to take a little break, I guess, you know, reboot, recharge for the new year.
You got to rest, you know, get make sure we're all healed up, no injuries, no nagging injuries or anything like that.
Yeah, got to be in fine form for the stretch run here.
Well, you were busy man yesterday, Kevin. As I know, signing day is always a busy time for insiders such as yourself. What stood out to you? Because again, I say it, I see names, I see positions, I see stars. I always see stars. Those are the things I look at. I know you're diving deep here. So, a couple of players that really stood out to you that will now be Colorado State Rams.
Yeah, it's, you know, always a big guesswork, you know, even for coaches, obviously. It's not certain how these players will turn out. Obviously, you're signing guys that you think will be good, but obviously we know not all of them end up being stars. That's just the nature of it. But, you know, a few guys that jump off the page, you know, the one that I think fans have been really excited about for a while is Jordan Ross, the receiver, you know, four-star by some sites. He's the number two all-time recruit, you know, in Colorado State history based on rankings. Guy that, you know, I know if you had to ward off some Power Fives that were, you know, trying to snatch him away late. So he's a guy that, you know, his recruiting resume obviously is really high profile, and obviously an offense that is really good for receivers. And, you know, really, CSU signed three big time, you know, recruit ranking receivers in Ross, Landon Bell, and Corey Hall. Landon Bell is the number 10 recruit all time. So, you know, those guys obviously jump off the page. Darius Curry, the quarterback, Long Beach Poly is a historic program. And, you know, he's fascinating because he's like 5'10". And, you know, Norvell's talked a lot about, you know, big, tall, strong arm quarterbacks. You know, so I asked him, you know, what is about Curry that, you know, he's the exception to the rule. And he said, you know, one, you know, really live, accurate arm, mobile, you know, not necessarily a runner, but makes, you know, plays outside the pocket. And I thought the most fascinating is, you know, he kind of called him the Pied Piper of, you know, people want to be with him, play with him, follow him. He said he was a big part of, you know, Ross and Landon Bell and some of those guys coming to CSU. He said Curry and Jordan Ross have already been throwing together in the Los Angeles area. So I thought it was pretty fascinating what he said about him. So those are some of the guys that, you know, jumped out. Jalen Dupree, running back, ran for nearly 7,000 yards in high school. So that one obviously jumps out as well.
Yeah, no, I know that was a guy I was certainly interested in. How about on the defensive side, Kevin? You and I have talked a lot about this, some of the big needs, obviously, looking at cornerbacks in the future and things like that. Did they get better there yesterday?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the things that jump out in defense are, again, size. Defensive linemen are big. You know, they got a couple edge rushers that are like 6'4", 6'5", 250, you know, big-time athletes, cornerbacks. You know, Chauncey Davis is a guy that I think they're excited about, and that's also a position they're going to beef up through the transfer portal. You know, you can't go in with, you know, only young guys playing at that position. You know, you kind of have to have a mix. There's going to be some of that, but you see the profile on defense. They want big, long, athletic guys. You know, a guy like Jaden Landrum is going to play linebacker, but he was sort of, you know, a lot of times played receiver, tight end in high school. He's like 6'4", 6'5", goes sideline to sideline. So you can see the mold of what they're trying to get on defense.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And how many of these guys, I ask you this every year, do you look at and say, yeah, they're going to get playing time next year?
Yeah, I mean, Norvell has said, and it's shown, you know, he'll play freshman. You know, there's a kind of an old coach saying of, if you're good enough, you're old enough. And I think Norvell and staff, you know, ride by that. I think freshman receiver is a good spot to look at because, you know, you don't have to know the full route tree. They can put you in one specific spot. So I think all three of those guys will be in contention. Obviously not all three will, but you know, look for one of them to emerge. You know, linebacker, we saw Boom Jock get some time as a true freshman this year. So maybe that's another spot. Those are probably the likeliest. You know, Darius Curry is an early enrollee, but obviously he has quite a battle on his hand if he wants to get at quarterback. Jalen Dupree, again, he looks the part, but you also have Justin Marshall, Kobe Johnson, Damian Henderson, Avery Morrow, so that running back room is stacked. So I think receiver might be your most likely bet there.
Do you think on the quarterback side, you mentioned Curry there, with Braden Fowler-Nicolosi, I know you did an amazing story last week. It's got a lot of people talking. But one of the big takeaways I looked at in that story, Kevin, was like, that's the man. There is no debate about it. It's going to be Braden Fowler-Nicolosi at quarterback.
I mean, yeah, I think he's easily the front runner, but I still do think there's going to be, you know, battles for that of they're going to make guys earn their time, and that includes Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. So, yeah, he's easily the front runner, and obviously, you know, it's a tough position because it's easy to nitpick the bad. But you also have to look at the good. I mean, that guy threw for 3,500 yards and made some huge plays. So I think, especially a coaching staff, they tend to believe they can develop players, which, you know, makes sense. That's what their career is based on. So I think they're thinking, you know, look at the good that he did and we can refine some of the bad. So yeah, BFN, I think easily the front runner, but I also wouldn't just discount the idea of, you know, Jackson Brousseau getting in the mix or, you know, trying to force their hand a little bit because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do.
And this is one of those tough things about where we are in college sports now is yeah, everybody's applauding BFN right now because they're like, wow, you chose CSU over what we're hearing, you know, $600,000, maybe more, who knows. But if he struggles, Kevin, and Jay Norvell ends up having to bench him at some point, then that's going to be a completely different story and would be tough on the quarterback, on the kid, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is why that is the hardest position to play. And, you know, not just X and O's and physicality-wise, but kind of the mental side, especially in current college football and current social media world. Yeah, if, you know, game one is Texas, so it could happen. You know, he goes out there and completes 48% of his passes and has three interceptions. you know, right or wrong, it's probably wrong, but you'll have people saying, well, you know, why on earth did you even try and keep him? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you should let the guy walk. You know, that's the nature of that position. It is the most high profile position in all of college sports, honestly. You know, you even include other sports. You know, even, you know, and Isaiah Stevens and point guard gets a lot, but it's not as bright a glare as football quarterback. It's just the reality of the situation. So there's the good of it. Like you say, right now, all the Rams fans are saying, oh my gosh, thanks for, mm-hmm. you know, we're so glad you're loyal. We love you. But, you know, if he has 10 interceptions in six games, they're not going to be saying that.
Well, it's kind of like the Clay Millen thing last year. It wasn't an NIL deal, but it was, you know, Clay came over pretty quickly from Nevada to be the quarterback for Norvell. He believed in him. And then we saw the season that was. It was not great. And then he was pulled pretty quickly into the second season. So it is difficult. I don't know how you do it at this level anymore, man.
Yeah, it is so hard. You know, that position more than any can change quick, you know, perception and even just role. And then more so now because, you know, we've talked about a lot. Coaches are under more pressure than ever to win and win quickly. So if they're feeling pressure, you know, that's always a position that's at risk of change because it's probably, again, the one position that, you know, good play or bad play can dramatically swing a team's hopes, you know, more than any other position, again, just because of how the sport is played. So it is just a bright, bright glare.
Kevin, I'm going to ask you a question. You can't really answer it because you're just going to have to guess here. But with your article last week, I was thinking, you know, with Jay Norvell, obviously frustrated, so frustrated to the point he got in contact with you and wants this to get out there. Do you think he's enjoying this? Do you think that coaches in this day and age now are kind of like, maybe I don't want to do this for the long haul because it's chaos right now?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that no is the answer to, you know, this part of it.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to say Jay Norvell doesn't want to coach anymore. That's too far. But, I mean, he said again yesterday of, you know, he honestly got teary-eyed talking about, you know, the relationships with the families that you build. He even told a story about, you know, going and visiting the Horton family over the last couple weeks and going into their home and, you know, seeing all the posters they have of Torrey and his siblings in the house and, you know, just how special those relationships are. And kind of said, you know, that's the stuff I love. That's, you know, what I love about this job. And he kind of said, to summarize, basically, it helps you get through the crap that you don't want to do, which, you know, I think obviously we all know is sort of this NIL transfer portal just mayhem. So yeah, I think there's no doubt for him and every other coach, it has become more wearisome because it's really hard to deal with. And just the fact that that's nonstop. I mean, I know these coaches are really highly paid and they sign up for it, but you know, that doesn't erase the fact that it's exhausting to do a 365 day a year job where you really, I mean, you have to be tethered to your phone because if, you know, BFN needs to talk because he's considering leaving, you have to take that call no matter when it is.
And that's the other part. You're re-recruiting every single not year now. It's got to be almost a daily thing, a weekly thing, especially with what we think is ultimately going to be long-lasting is the transfer portal where you can just transfer anytime.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like that. Now, I do also agree, you know, Jay and I talked about this partly with my story last week, and then he reiterated yesterday, this is unsustainable. There has to be a breaking point because I don't see, you know, I don't think anyone thinks this can continue happening quite this way. But how and when and what are those guardrails going to be, I think, is why it's so daunting right now because no one knows if or when. And yeah, I think it's very possible, maybe even likely, that you're going to see a number of coaches get run out of the profession, not by firing, but just wear and tear, and they say, you know what, forget it, not worth it.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is either. We've talked so much about this, but it does feel like we're going to get to a breaking point. I had someone reach out to me last night, Kevin, who was like, is it just me or does signing day almost feel icky now? Does it feel just different than it used to? And it's always been kind of a crapshoot, and some guys commit and then they flip at the last second. But we're seeing, I mean, you see the guy that possibly is going to be the next CU Buff offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a really interesting story because you go on national TV and commit to CU, but clearly there's more money to be had somewhere else. That's why he hasn't signed on the dotted line. It did feel like yesterday signing day was just another negative part of what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's to me, it's multi-tiered in that of, yeah, there's no doubt that there's some bidding, if you will, which sounds pretty gross to say, but it's true for certain those high-end players. You know, I still think at, you know, kind of where CSU is at, that's, it's not quite happening yet because, you know, the players CSU are signing, the Power Fives are saying, yeah, you know, you go teach them up for a year or two, we'll come back for them once we know they're good. But yeah, at that highest level, there's no doubt there's some of that. And I think there's another part of, in the back of your head, or maybe even the front of your head, you sit there and see whoever your favorite team is sign 20 players, and somewhere in your mind you're going, okay, well, in 18 months, yeah, how many of them are even going to be here? Whether it's they're not good enough and kind of get run out, or they're too good, if you will, and get plucked away by a bigger school. So I think that's some of it, too, of like, you used to know that the majority of the class was going to be there for the next 3 to 5 years, roughly. There'd be some attrition with injury and just whatever, but that it would be there. Now, I mean, you know, time will tell, but how much of this 2024 class will be here in 2028? You know, 10% maybe?
Yeah, no, you're right. Everything you're saying. I mean, those are the points that keep coaches up at night. Kevin, appreciate you, my man. I'm out next week, and I know you and CSU basketball analyst Adam Nygon are going to be filling in for me next Wednesday. So I'm really looking forward to going back and listening to the podcast. Just thank you for everything you do, man. You're a part of this place. I think you're coming to the Christmas party too, man. So, I mean, you're a part of what we do here, and we just appreciate you so much.
Absolutely. You know, giving the keys to me and Nygon, talk about, you know, letting a couple high schoolers take the Mustang out for a ride. We'll see what condition it is when you get back.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. I think it's going to be a fun show. I'm looking forward to it. Kevin, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, my man.
Yep, same to you and the whole crew at KFK. I love working with you guys.
All right, my man. Same here. Kevin Lytle, Coloradoan. Check out coloradoan.com if you want to get a full list of all those players that are now going to be Colorado State Rams. Got a text here that I missed from Weld County Swamp Man. I want to get into this. Why did Norvell not name any names in that story? So we'll get to that soon. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's an interesting text here from the Weld County Swami. Why did Norvell not name names? Feels weird he threw that number out but didn't provide more. Obviously referencing Kevin Lytle's article last week in the Coloradoan, where Jay basically reached out to get this information out there that some team was willing to give, or program. Braden had heard that a program was willing to give him $600,000 if he were to enter the transfer portal. I guess I didn't think. I did ask that question. Kevin asked the question. Jay Norvell's not doing it. Angel, that's a tough line to walk. There are a lot of fans out there that are a little irritated that, hey, if you're going to throw that out like that, you should name the names. How are we going to start getting behind this if we don't know who's doing it? And then we can see a punishment as an example. But then it's also like you're breaking the unwritten rule or the code. If he's that guy, you burn bridges, man.
The name of the player, it puts it out there, and then it's people go at him on social media. People, you know, oh, you should have taken that money, or oh, I'm glad you didn't take that money. You'll hear it from both sides. As a coach, I don't think Jay Norvell is that type of person to rat on somebody. But, you know, kind of speaking to that code, but this isn't a thing between coaches. This is unidentified sources that are getting this information to players. And who can you convict in that?
Yeah, what
who
are you going to say?
Who can you condemn for that?
Who? What are you going to say? Do you actually have proof that a coach reached out to Braden Fowler-Nicolosi and said, hey, $600,000 to enter the portal? If he had proof of that, do you think then he should put it out there?
Yeah. I mean, that's,
we got to start making examples of these guys, right? You got to start punishing people. Let's have that conversation in the second hour. We're going to see if we can track down Brian Howell as well, our Buffs insider. Talk about Colorado and this whole Jordan Seaton thing. What do we know? When will we know it? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.